from 1 Peter 5:6-11. Therefore, humble yourselves under God's powerful hand so that he may lift you up at the appointed time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Have sound judgment. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, being firm in the faith. You know that the same kinds of sufferings are being laid on your brotherhood all over the world. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself restore you, establish, strengthen, and support you. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, you have ascended on high. You have taken captive all those who captured us, sin, death, and hell defeated. Lord, defeat all these enemies in us and especially our confirmands this day and every day till we come home to you in glory. Jesus, help us, bless us. Amen. In the name of Christ high ascended, dearly redeemed believers, and especially you, dear children of God, to be confirmed today. Christians will go through a time like this excessive study, extra study that you've done these years, and I'm sure you're going on to other things, and I'm sure you're not going to miss me as much as I'm going to miss you. Happens every year. That last class comes. I know teachers probably all around in spring look out the window and think they're moving on. It's God's way. But there's a problem that always comes when you have something that you're getting today, which is an awesome blessing. It's membership at New Life Evangelical Lutheran Church. Blessing. It has responsibilities and privileges that go with it that we've talked about for 2 years now, and you are on this day ready to publicly say, by God's grace, you're ready. But how much is the membership in a church really going to do for you? Depends on how you use it. Came to be by me by email anonymously. Don't know if it's true, but supposedly, a farmer was out working one day and a man drove up, shiny car, state worker, and told the farmer, got to see things. The farmer said, fine, just don't go in that field over there. State worker gets all upset. You see this card? This card entitles me to go to every place I want and inspect any place on any farm. State highways coming through. Okay. Farmer goes back to work. Pretty soon he hears screams coming from a nearby pasture. Sure enough, he looks over there and the state worker is running for all he's worth with the prize bull right behind him. You know, hot on his heels and angry as a nest of hornets, and he's headed for the fence and gaining fast. Farmer just couldn't help himself. Show him your card. Show him your card. You get kind of a card today, but card-carrying Christians sometimes rely on that in ways that are very dangerous. The Lord is not warning us today about a raging bull. He's warning us about a roaring lion who attacks souls and bodies and relationships and families and drags people into hell as fast as he can. But you have everything you need here. We have it in word and sacrament. And so the Lord wants this assurance to come home to your heart today and stay. Find a place to live there, always on your conscious thoughts. He cares for you. He cares for you to rescue you, first of all, from anxiety. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under God's powerful hand so that he may lift you up at the appointed time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Do you remember us talking about humility? Humility, the most elusive of Christian virtues. As soon as you think you have it, you've lost it. God is the only one who can actually look at humility without ruining it. He has to create this in our hearts when he gives us faith and keeps us in his word. He has to humble us so that we learn to humble ourselves before him under his powerful hand so that at the right time he can lift us up. He wants us to realize that, you know, you get this card of membership from your church, and then it's so easy to think, now I can rely on myself. And then if your parents and pastors are warning you about certain things, then you might even just kind of pull away a little bit and say, I can take care of this. I can handle it. I got this. And then you fall. Fall into some sin that you feel can never be forgiven. And now it's even harder because you were relying on yourself. So now your natural inclination is going to be to say, I got this. If I got myself into this, I can get myself out of it. So you're like a horse that stumbles into quicksand. You know what happens? They struggle more and more and go deeper and deeper. And God's word to you today is, be still. God says to you, I got this. I'm watching over you. Cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you. I can carry all your cares. So that to me just reminds me of Jaden's passage where the Lord is just speaking to us through Isaiah and says, so do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I've learned it from so many different translations, I just kind of put them all together now. So that's not exactly how you memorized it. But the Lord says, I'll carry your burdens. I have the strength. Rely on me, especially at those times when you feel like your sins can't be forgiven. That's why Jesus died for you, why he died for me, and why he says, come on, come back. So you think of us in our pride and our stubbornness trying to carry our own burdens. And I'm imagining now Kendra getting on a bus, and she sits down, and there's an old lady there who's just clutching everything she can carry on her lap as the bus is bouncing along and just holding it tight there. And kind-hearted Kendra, you know, you take that just so long, and then you have to help, right? And you say very respectfully, lady or ma'am, I don't know, lady, if you put your bags on the floor, the bus can carry you and them. See, worry is like an old lady grabbing all those things up tight like I just can't let go of any of this. Lord says, no, 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 I got this. I'm the bus. I carry you and your burdens. Cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be moved. They knew that in the Psalms too. David said that. So Kendra's passage is Jesus' beautiful invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, because you've been trying to hang on to all of this, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The burden that the Lord is putting upon you today is come. That's like a fireman on a ladder and you're in the burning building and he's out there saying, come. How heavy is that burden? It's a beautiful gospel command that says, let's get out of here. Let's go together. I'm with you always. Come. Let's go. And so he cares for you to sustain you in those anxieties and rescue you from them, but also to hold you up so that you can stand firm in the faith. Next two verses. Resist or be alert. He says, have sound judgment. Be sober was the old translation. Have sound judgment. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, being firm in the faith. You know that the same kinds of suffering are being laid on your brothers all over the world. Roaring lion. The Lord has warned us before, hasn't he? We're kind of like little children. We hear, we nod real quick, then we run off. Instant memory loss. Children have a hard time staying concerned about a danger they can't see. So do we. This is our biggest problem. He's out there, but we can't hear him. He's prowling around, but we don't see him. It's the noise of the jackhammers arguing children, arguing parents, grocery carts. They all dull our sense of hearing him. The shiny signs, flashy cars, well-stocked shelves. Not for you guys, but the kegs, cool ones, just keeps us from seeing. But he's out there. He's prowling around. On an unsuspecting victim, he will pounce. And you have targets on you because you are confessing Christians who are standing before God and his people today and the whole world and saying, no matter what, Jesus is mine and I am his. But did you catch that double punch, the knockout punch that Jesus gives you? He says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, being firm in the faith. Through James, Jesus says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Keep it sharp. Keep memorizing God's word, even though it's not for tests anymore. Review what you've learned. Keep your passages close in your heart. Review your catechism. Keep that sword sharp. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. You have everything you need here because you know where the pipeline is. You were given salvation when you were brought, before you could walk, to the word-powered water of baptism, and God made you his own. He gave you eyes to see and ears to hear. And you know that there are free refills here at this place all the time. The means of grace, God saying come, is the word and sacrament that arms you and makes you dangerous to the devil and his kingdom. The way Jesus wants you to be, armed and dangerous to evil so that you can stand up for what's right. You can resist the devil and he will flee from you, and you know that you're not ever in this all alone. We're hearing from James, Peter, Paul, Isaiah, all the Lord's servants beforehand, God's people, all praying for you today. Be good to think back on this day sometime if you feel really alone, like you just can't handle what's there in front of you. Remember, he cares for you, and God's people prayed for you today. Lord, remember their prayers. Remember our prayers for them. Jesus says through Peter, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace will restore you. He's called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. He will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you. Do you realize that Jesus lives to restore you? He's the good shepherd that's always watching over you. And he knows when you are cast down. Like in one of the Psalms where it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? That's a cast sheep. You've heard me talk about that before. The shepherd sees in the distance that sheep lying on her back, legs up to the sun, you know, belly to the air. We'll die that way if left too long. They suffocate. The shepherd has to get there in time. So when you're cast down, you know that the Lord is living and ascended to look down on all of this from up above and be here with us always. So he knows. He will come and take hold of his sheep like a good shepherd, flip that sheep over to set it on its legs. But you know, after being cast for a while, no circulation. So the shepherd typically has to straddle the sheep and hold it up for a little while. Now, what do you suppose the shepherd will be saying? Be scolding a little bit. When are you going to learn? You did it again. But I'm here. I'm here. You're okay now. And hold on to you until the blood flow starts again in your legs. Christ is the good shepherd. He restores us through the blood flowing from his blessed sacrament and the very body that was given into death for you. The hands that are so strong, but yet nail-pierced for you. to take away all your sins of pride, all your sins of carelessness, whatever it may be, all gone, washed away. And today you get that special assurance, which I know will grow more precious to you as the years go by, when the Lord says, "This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Awesome blessing begins today. And that blood flow, that circulation, is the Lord establishing again your circulation in Him so that you can breathe and thrive. As the Lord, through Peter, says in Abigail's passage, "Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's Peter beginning this very letter that we're closing today. "In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time." You're shielded so that you can make it home. When I say home, any of you guys play baseball this summer? Into baseball at all? I wasn't either, but I'm going to use the analogy now anyway. So just think about a little kid. If you ever watch kids playing when they're really little and they first learn how to play and they finally make it around to home plate, can you at least picture this in your mind if you haven't seen it? They'll come around and they'll come to home plate and they'll do a double foot stomp on the home plate. They'll just stop there. Boom, boom, like that, because they're so happy they made it. Never saw that? But you can imagine it, right? Those little legs, you know, it's just so long to get around there, and you can get tired when you're running like that. And we as Christians trying to make it home will sometimes get tired. But Jesus, with baptism and His word, has put you on base. He's the one who hit the home run. I'm looking forward to the day when we're all coming home to heaven. And Jesus has called us, or He comes again and takes us all at once. And I get to see you guys rounding third and coming on home and doing that little kid double stomp to just praise the Lord. No one will have to tell us to cheer then. No one will have to tell us to praise God when we're in heaven. No one will be able to stop us. We will join our hearts and voices shouting with the Lord's Apostle Peter in that last verse, "To God be the glory and the power forever and ever." He cares for you. His loving power will keep you to that double stomp, home run celebration of our Lord Jesus in heaven. Peace be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.